Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, all of you out there in radio land. Thank you so kindly for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues this morning. This is Brother Davis standing in for Dr. Youngblood, who's still away, taking care of family matters, just what a good father should be doing when times like these come along. And I just want to say I thank and praise God for him. He's standing in there steadfast. So we still need to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. We need to pray for everyone, as a matter of fact. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. But at this time, he's dealing with some issues concerning his son being sick and some others, other things that needs his attention. But anyhow, we're going to carry on in his name right now. And I just want to say I thank God for the opportunity to be able to minister to the body of Christ this way over the radio airways. And I just want to thank you again. I can't thank you enough for your patience, giving you this country boy your undivided attention as we attempt to carry on with this program, because we do want to glorify God in all that we do. It's not about us and it's not about you, but it's all about Jesus Christ on this morning. And I thank and praise God because the Bible tells us that one day he's coming back. And my friend, I don't know where you plan to be, but I plan to go back with him when he comes. And right now, as we preach the gospel to every creature all over this world, we are trying to get everyone ready for the soon coming king. He will be coming back, and he's coming back for those who are ready. So the reason why we are preaching so hard to you and trying to encourage you each and every day of your life is because when that day comes, we want you to be able to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord." Amen. So we thank and praise God again. We thank God for Dr. Youngblood, Dr. Phelps, or everyone at Conservative Theological University, all the fine people down at the radio station, WTRJ, Brother Roger doing a mighty fine job, as he always does, and everyone that's connected with this program to make it a success. We cannot do what we do unless we work together. The Bible lets us know together we stand, but divided we fall. So we have to stand, and when we stand on the word of God, because on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. So we thank and praise God because we serve a mighty and a powerful and an on-time God on this morning. Amen. So we just want to thank God again. We want to make sure to mention that this time. We want to thank Tools for Time for being a sponsor of this program located at the intersection of I-295 South and Old St. Augustine Road. Their telephone number is 904-260-8744. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is the address there. Dr. Youngblood always says on the program, look for the flagpole at the intersection with Old Glory flapping at the top. That's the United States flag flying proudly. And if you come to the base of that flag, you will find Tools for Time. If you want to visit them on their website, you can Google toolsfortime.com. toolsfortime.com. And I'm sure when you go there, you'll be able to find out what's available. If you're trying to open up your own business, or if you just want to take care of your own home, your lawn, the things around your house, I'm sure that they will have some of the things that you might need in order to get the job done. So consult Tools for Time on today. Give them a call at your earliest convenience. We thank and praise God again for being here on today. We want to continue on with the same subject that we had on yesterday, that we are living in times of instability, times of instability. And all of our subjects matter that we'll be talking about on today will be surrounding that heading, that topic, times of instability. As some of you may already know, the headlines have been made on this morning that some of our greatest fears have already been realized in Afghanistan. There's been an attack at the airport in Kabul, and it's saying that there are some casualties there. At least three U.S. Marines have been wounded. Multiple explosions have happened. And they've also said that up to at least 25 Afghan nationals have been wounded. There are casualties there. We never wanted to see a thing like this happen, but it is what it is, and now we have to deal with it. And the thing that I hate about it so much is that if we had taken the time to put this thing together, if our leaders had really put this thing together the way that it should have been put together, then maybe this situation wouldn't be taking place the way it is right here now on today. But through it all, I still know that God is still in control. So we have to trust and believe that no matter whatever happens, God is still yet in control. I got a news article here that says five takeaways from Biden's latest remarks on Afghanistan, dated August the 20th, 2021. President Biden on Friday sought to defend his administration's halting efforts to evacuate Americans and Afghan allies from Afghanistan following the Taliban's takeover of Kabul. His remarks, delivered from the East Room of the White House, came amid blistering criticism from U.S. lawmakers and several world leaders over scenes of chaos that have emerged in and around Kabul's airport in recent days. And of course, this article is a couple of days old. As we just mentioned, the worst fears have already been realized. There has been an attack, but we just want to let you know that people tried to warn him days in advance that something like this might take place. So what we need to do when we receive a warning about something, the Bible tells us warning comes before destruction. So if we learn how to heed warnings, then we can put things in place to help us along, to keep things from being happening in such a bad way. But I don't think that he heeded anyone's warnings on today. So this is why we're seeing the results of what had happened due to poor planning and improper handling of the situation in Afghanistan. This is why this thing has taken place the way that it has. It says here are five key takeaways from Biden's speech and his answers to questions from reporters. Number one, this is the first one. Biden says U.S. has made significant progress in the evacuation effort. Now, I don't know what he calls significant progress, but evidently that's not so true. Because from what we can understand, many Americans were left behind during the first evacuation process. So as that process continues to go on, and I don't know what all it entails, but it sounds like to me they're still trying to get people out of there daily, on a daily basis. But it's not over yet. But now, since this attack has happened, I'm sure that that's going to hinder the progress of what they're trying to do. But he says they have made significant progress. And this is what the write-up had to say. The president said the United States has successfully deployed nearly 6,000 troops to Hamid Karzai International Airport in the last week to help manage the evacuations. We've made significant progress, he said. He said 13,000 people, including Americans and Afghans, who have applied for special immigrant visas, or SIVs, have been evacuated so far, including 5,700 on Thursday. American flights out of Kabul resumed Friday after an eight-hour delay that U.S. officials blame on a backup in processing people once they landed elsewhere, such as Qatar. So, you see, they have been trying to evacuate people, but it seems like right now it's all kind of almost happened in vain. They have not done it well enough, nor has it happened fast enough, because there are casualties there, as I'm seeing on the news right now. The number two thing takeaway from Biden's press conference says here, Biden acknowledges he can't guarantee the final outcome. Well, nobody can, to tell you the truth. We are dealing with dishonest, hateful, and ruthless people that will do anything to harm an individual, especially if you don't believe in what they believe. And this is the reason why I say that we can't trust people like that. We as the United States of America were built on democracy. We were built on independence. Our country, our military forces are forces of strength. We always showed the rest of the people in the world who we are or who we were. But now it seems like all of this is not happening. And this is the reason why we have so many people doubting what's going to happen next. Can this administration get the job done? Are we safe from other forces all over the world that hate the United States? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. The write-up goes on to say the president pledged to evacuate any American who wants to come home from Afghanistan, but said he could not guarantee that U.S. efforts would be wholly successful. And I'm glad he said that. No one can guarantee. Nobody can guarantee your safety but God. God is our provider. He's our healer. He's our protector. He's everything that we need. So that's why we have got to put our trust fully in him and not in a man. It says here, this evacuation operation is dangerous. I cannot promise what the final outcome will be or that it will be without risk of loss, he said. But as commander-in-chief, this is Biden speaking, I can assure you I will mobilize every resource necessary. Ask whether U.S. forces, which have been limited to fortifying the airfield, would venture out to rescue Americans beyond the airport. Biden said they already had, noting that about 160 Americans were taken over the wall by troops earlier this week. Let me remind you before we go down any further, if you care to call in, ask any questions, or have any input, that number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Call and jump in at any point this discussion. It goes on a little bit further to say, he added, however, that U.S. officials have had no indication that Americans have been denied access to the airport by the Taliban. The third takeaway from President Biden's press conference says here, Biden says U.S. is now working closely with foreign allies. Biden said that over the last few days he had spoken with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and French President Emmanuel Macron. We all agreed that we should convene, and we will convene the G7 meeting next week, a group of the world's leading democracies, so that together we can coordinate our mutual approach, our united approach on Afghanistan and moving forward, he said. Merkel and Biden spoke Wednesday, 2 days after the German leader had called the situation in Afghanistan an extremely bitter development. Bitter, dramatic, and terrifying. The Telegraph reported that it took Biden 36 hours to return a call from Johnson, who was sharply rebuked by British legislators for the withdrawal this week. Macron was accused of pandering to the far right in his country by saying France should have a plan to anticipate and protect itself from a wave of immigrants. But he told Biden on Friday there was a moral responsibility to evacuate Afghan allies. When Biden was asked about the international response, he said he had seen no question of our credibility from allies around the world. And you know, that's a bad thing. We have allies, friends that we consider ourselves to be friendly with, other countries, Israel is one. But it seems like no one wants to throw their support fully behind this president on today because they don't trust his cognitive ability to make decisions. And I think that's always been a question from the very outset of the election. Is he able to make a cognitive decision concerning matters like this, especially when it comes down to security? Can we trust him? This has always been the question. And I heard so many times over and over that they were thinking about invoking the 25th Amendment against this president. In fact, I heard that it was put in place just in case he can't do the job, that they would remove him out of office and put Kamala Harris in there and let her give her a chance to see what she can do. So I tell you what we need to do on today, in spite of all. We need to keep praying, especially as the people of God. Pray that God will put the right person in place that could help us. The number four takeaway from the press conference says, Biden downplays terror threat from Afghanistan and says danger lies elsewhere Well, okay, today we know that that's not true. Danger is right there around them. Danger was there all the whole time because of the hostile people that are in that area. The Taliban, ISIS, ISIL, and all these others that are out there, they hate the United States with a passion. They hate Americans, and they will do anything to hurt and destroy them. So what we need to do is stop taking this thing lightly. We need to stand up and show a force of strength that we are still the strongest nation on the face of the planet. The write-up goes on to say, the president said that with the diminishment of Al-Qaeda in the country and the killing of Osama bin Laden, the U.S. has no reason to be in Afghanistan at this point. Just imagine, and this is him speaking, if bin Laden had decided with Al-Qaeda to launch an attack from Yemen, Biden said, would we have ever gone to Afghanistan? Would there ever be any reason we would be in Afghanistan, controlled by the Taliban? What is the national interest of the United States in that circumstance? The threat from terrorism has been metastasized, he continued. There is a greater danger from ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these affiliates in other countries, by far, than there is in Afghanistan. We're going to retain an over-the-horizon capacity that if they were able to come back, to be able to take them out surgically. So this is where we should be. This is about America leading the world, and all our allies have agreed with that. When asked why America should trust the intelligence that there was no terrorist threat when it had just misjudged what would happen with the Afghan army, Biden called the comparison apples and oranges and said the administration would know if terrorists began to accumulate in Afghanistan to plot against the United States. So listen, people, again, we can't take this thing lightly because right now we are living in perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think we discussed some of that on yesterday. The Bible tells us to know this. In other words, don't guess at it. Don't take it lightly. Don't sit around and not have the answer, but know this for a fact. That in the last days, perilous times, that means dark, dangerous, and devastating, unstable, unsecure, perilous times shall come. And I got news for you. They are not coming. They are already here. So it is praying time. We are living in unstable times when we don't know what's going to happen the very next minute. So it pays us best to be anchored in Jesus. The number five takeaway from Biden's press conference says, Biden says the U.S. is in constant contact with the Taliban, reiterating what his administration officials have been saying all week. Biden said that U.S. officials have been in frequent contact with Taliban leaders who have said that no foreigners, including Americans, would be harmed on Afghan soil. Now look at that. Just with that one statement, we already see where they have lied to us because there has been an attack. There has been American casualties. There has been others. We don't know just yet what the numbers are going to be when the final outcome really comes. But we do know that an attack has happened and lives are at stake right now. And people are hurt. We don't know how many are hurt. We don't know how many are killed. But sooner or later, those numbers will come out. And we will find out the truth in this situation. But it's mighty bad that we have to find it out on the other end when we probably could have taken precautions in the beginning so that something like this would not end up happening. The news report goes on to say, we've been in constant contact with the Taliban leadership on the ground in Kabul, as well as the Taliban leadership in Doha, he said. And we've been coordinating, he said. That is how the United States was able to get all its diplomats out of the U.S. embassy safely. Despite the recent coordination, the president has said he doesn't believe the Taliban have changed. I think they are going through sort of an existential crisis, he said, in an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos earlier this week. Do they want to be recognized by the international community as being a legitimate government? I'm not sure they do. That was his remark. So listen, If you listen at some of the things that I just read about the five takeaways from Biden's latest remarks on Afghanistan, we see that since this was dated August the 20th, other things have happened, letting us know that we were lied to, deceived, and a lot of decisions were made because they were not informed properly as to what would really happen. It's very bad that these things had to happen first in order for us to realize what is really happening. So for this reason, we ought to trust in God and trust in God the more. We have a caller coming in right now. Go ahead with your question or comment, caller.
Yeah. My comment is I think this is a really big win for the left. It's almost as big or probably bigger than Obama giving nuclear capability to Iran. But even so, what would make it even a better win for them is if they actually train the Taliban on those Black Hawk helicopters that we gave them. Anyway, I don't know why I'm paying taxes to a country that is supplying arms to terrorists and will not let me have a firearm myself or trying to take my firearms away. Anyhow, I got more to say, but that's it. I hope you have a great day, Pastor Davis.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Jeff, for calling in with that remark, with the comments. We all need to pay close attention to what's going on. Sometimes it makes us feel as though our country is helping everyone else but us. They're giving rights to everyone else but us. And I'm speaking about those that are in authority, those that should be putting America first, those that we have entrusted to protect us, to secure this country, to secure the borders as well. It seems like the job's not being done. And the American people are going on with their needs not met. So this is why I say to all of you on today, if you are in Christ Jesus, trust in God. If you are not trusting in him, you need to put your trust in him. The disciples, when they asked Jesus a question, coming from the book of St. Luke chapter 21, about the last days, starting in verse number 7, and they asked him, saying, this is St. Luke 21 and 7, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. In other words, deception would be one of the first signs that we are in the last days. We are not starting the last days. We are in the last days right now. So we need to realize Jesus is on his way coming back because he gave us all indications through his word what to expect would happen before he gets ready to return to the earth. For he said, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Verse number 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Listen, people, I thank and praise God for his patience, for putting up with us. If God doesn't judge America, if he doesn't judge the world, and especially America, because we were built upon the principles of the Bible, of the scripture. We were built upon the foundation that the apostles left. And now we have strayed so far away from it, it seemed like we can't even identify who we were from the first beginning. We used to send missionaries into other countries. Now missionaries are being sent to us to preach the gospel. What a shame. We need to get back to the old foundation where we were. That is where we're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that if any man moves the old landmark, what he's going to do, he's going to end up in a place to where when he gets out there, he's going to look back and wonder, how did I get out here in the first place? So we need to take heed to the things that are going on in this world and take heed to the things that are being said when we read the word of God. Take these things to heart and trust God to handle the situation, because as we can see things happening right now, we cannot put our hope and trust in man. Verse 10 goes on to say, this is Luke 21, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Didn't that just happen in Haiti about a few weeks ago? Other places also here this year, since 2021 came in, many places have experienced earthquakes. So these are signs of the times, signs of instability, that we don't know what's going to happen the very next minute. But we do know that these signs point to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says here, we're going to have famines and pestilences. A pestilence is nothing but an uncontrollable disease. When you look at COVID, it's a pandemic, but it's also a pestilence. And I believe it to be a plague. For me, I think what we need to do, if we get together and pray, if we pray to the Father in earnest, I believe that God will stop this plague on today. And I'm telling you on today, I know that COVID is real. I have lost friends. I have lost acquaintances. I have lost other people that I know to this devastating, debilitating disease. And I want you to know it's not nothing to play with. You shouldn't take this thing lightly. If you need to wash up, wash up. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But just notice and understand this. Whatever it takes to protect yourself, that's what you need to do. But overall, make sure that you are trusting in God first. Put him first, and I guarantee you, he will bring you out. And look at what else it said. He said, and fearful signs, we're still on verse number 11 now, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Just a few nights ago, we experienced the blue moon in the sky. We experienced solar eclipses are here just over the last few months. Many other things have happened in the heavens, but all of these are signs that point to the coming of our soon coming King. So we have to just take confidence and know that if you are not in Jesus, if you don't have him, my friend, I encourage you to get him on today. When it goes down to verse number 12 and says, but before all these things, listen to what the Lord is saying. They shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. And he said, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Jesus is promising us that he's going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to see us through this thing. So no matter how rough and tough it gets, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how you've been rebuked and scorned, and no matter how your name has been scandalized, keep your mind set on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he promised that he's going to see you through. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there and join us after the news break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.